this is Leah Pikin-Kalidas from CreativeEveryday.com, and for part of the month of sound for the Creative Everyday Challenge, I asked my friend Fabeju if he would be willing to speak with me about his work with sound healing, and he kindly agreed. So welcome, Fabeju, and thank you for speaking with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I would love it if you could introduce yourself and talk a bit about your background and what led you into sound healing.
Cool. Well, my name is Fabeju Fatoumiche, and my main background is actually in shamanism, which I've studied and practiced for the past 18 or so years. I've spent about 10, 11 of those years studying directly with some indigenous elders from West Africa. And for me, really, probably the two biggest passions in my life are art and music. I mean, it's just kind of always been that way. I mean, I've done art since I was a kid. You know, I used to eat crayons when I was, 6 months old. So, in music and sound, they've just kind of always been a part of everything that I've done. And one of the reasons, actually, that I was initially drawn to shamanism is because in shamanism, I found this really amazing relationship with both art and sound. Because one of the things that I've learned by spending time with indigenous people and studying the shamanic path is that in shamanism, art and music are two of the biggest agents of healing and teaching and transformation and communication. And one of the things that was really pivotal for me that when I encountered this in shamanism is that in most indigenous cultures around the world, art is looked at as this living presence. It's not, if someone does a carving of let's say a particular spirit or something, it's not a representation of that spirit, but it's actually this living presence. And for me, what I really dug about that was that it spoke to my own relationship to art, both as someone that's done art and someone that's loved art forever, that, when I look at the art that people create, I feel that living presence, And so to find that expressed in shamanism was so cool. And it's the same thing with music. It's there's such a deep relationship with sound in shamanism that it's what draws people together. It's how people learn. It's the way healing work is done. It's really, really incredible. And so when I met with my main elder, he's from southwestern Nigeria, and he's an amazing, amazing musician himself. I mean, he's this, pretty world-famous drummer kind of a guy, but he's just absolutely incredible. And so when I found that, that was just another level of kind of this oh wow moment with the sound and the music. And my interest really in sound started with my interest in shamanism, at least sound in a more focused way as a healing force, because what I found is when I first started studying, I got this little tiny hoop drum and would just kind of play it and just kind of see how it went. And what I found was that when I would drum in a different way, like when I would change the way I drummed, it would change the way that I felt. Like when I was tired, I'd drum really fast and I'd felt, like I just drank a bunch of coffee or something, Or when I was stressed, I could do these slow drumming and would just calm down. And I was amazed at how tangible changing the sound would change the way that I felt. And it was almost immediate. And so I was hooked, And I think I probably spent 5 or 6 years where I just carried a drum with me everywhere. I mean, it was just, kind of like this constant accompaniment for me. And, I guess the sound has just always had that kind of a deep effect on me. And I think one of the reasons that sound is so powerful is that it has a deep effect on all of us. If you think about that, when we were in the womb being born, I mean, we listened to the sound of our mother's heartbeat for 9 months, So I think there's this really deep sort of gut level response to sound. And, that's kind of a Reader's Digest of how I got into the sound stuff.
Well, I'm smiling listening to you. I just find this really fascinating, and the how shamanism interacts with art and music, and very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, amazing.
Do you think that part of the reason why water is so soothing is because of the sounds we heard in the womb, it's sort of similar to that, like, rush sort of thing.
Absolutely. You know, if you think about, you know, when we were just literally coming together as a person in this world, we heard the heartbeat, and then we heard, you know, the fluid in our mother's womb, the blood rushing through the veins of her body. And so, yeah, there's this really deep connection between water and healing, because, I mean, you know, for most of us anyway, what more safe space did we have than that womb space? You know, it's what brought us together. It's what brought us into this world. So, yeah, I think there's some really powerful stuff with water.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about your own work with your art, and how sound and art interact for you.
Yeah, for me, there's this really cool intersection between the two, and I guess because they've both always been a part of my life, they've always kind of gone hand in hand for me, and I think that, you know, art and music both have very similar characteristics in that they have their own rhythm and tone and flavor. You know, I mean, you can listen to a song and you can hear the drum beat or the bass line or the melody. And for me, it's the same with art. You know, when I look at a piece of art, I can it's like I can hear and feel the interaction between the colors and the shapes and the forms and the way things flow together. And so for me, it's like art is almost this type of music made visible type of thing. And so in that way, and then, you know, what I think about is how many people have been inspired to create art by music, and how many people have been inspired to create music by art. So it's like one sort of feeds the other, and there's this sort of this very cool loop of creativity that happens between the two. And, you know, for me anyway, when I'm creating art, I always work with sound first. And my own relationship to it is that it's like, for example, before I paint or create a piece, I'll sit and I'll drum for a little while, or I'll work with a singing bowl to kind of open up the space, or, you know, if I'm somewhere and don't have any instruments with me, I'll just hum, or, you know, I just make noise, you know, because for me it's like the sound creates this room, this structure, this container that can then be filled with this creative spirit, the inspiration, the muse, or whatever it is. You know, for me, I look at it as kind of like making noise to get the attention of the muse and ask her to show up and, you know, help me do this art that I'm doing. And so that's how it is for me. It's like the sound creates the room, and then the art comes in and, like, decorates the walls and really fills the space, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I find myself doing, you know, if I reach a point in a painting where I'm stuck and have kind of lost track and it just doesn't, you know, things aren't flowing, I'll stop again and I'll return to that sound, just the drumming or the singing bowls or whatever it is, just to kind of help me reconnect and to plug back into that flow. And, you know, so again, for me, there's this really, this hand-in-hand kind of thing that happens with sound and art, you know. And then there's been other times that, you know, I've seen a painting or a sculpture or something that, you know, it just moved me in a way that a sound does. And, like, I, like, want to, you know, bang the drum and, like, make the sound that I see when I look at this painting, you know. So it's, yeah, there's just this really clear intersection of the two for me.
It's really interesting. When you were talking, I was thinking about how with both art and music, sometimes words fail us. You know, they're not
absolutely
enough to, you know, sort of articulate what it is we're feeling, and so that's where music and art can step in and fill in the gaps and allow us to express these bigger things that we don't have words for. And thank
totally.
Goodness. Thank goodness.
I think that's one of the other things that I found so amazing with shamanism is that a lot of the things that they can't articulate in words, they'll express through sound or through art. And or sometimes, you know, they'll create a sculpture and then create a song to go along with the sculpture. And that's it. That's exactly what you're saying. It's like art and music give us a way to express something that there's just no way to translate in words. You know, it's like I think that's the cool part about both of these things, is that they connect us to something bigger, and then they give us a way to express that connection so that we can kind of anchor it and make it real and have some tangible reminder of that bigness. which I think is super cool. So
it is, and it's a powerful way to communicate with people too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and words aren't enough. You can get an idea across and tell a story and connect with people on a deeper level, I think, than
right.
you can do sometimes.
And you know, like I've seen that, like when I've been visiting my elder, and you know, there's people there from another country that, you know, we don't speak the same language, but as soon as we both pick up a drum, we're talking the same talk, you know. And I think it's the same thing looking at art. You know, you don't have to be able to speak in the same language to look at art and have this felt experience that can be shared in a very clear way. Without saying, hey, isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool. You know, there's just this mutual connectivity that's beyond the language part, which is awesome. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to talk about somatics. And because when we first talked about doing this interview, you introduced me to that concept, and I'd love if you could share a little bit more about it.
Yeah, totally. Cymatics, it actually, there's been kind of this lineage to it, if you will. Hans Jenny, who is a Swiss doctor, is the one that actually coined the term. But his work is based on the work of two other people. There was a man named Robert Hooke and a man named Ernst Chladni. And Chladni was a German physicist and musician. And he started doing, well, most people talk about him as the father of acoustics. And he would do, like, really wild stuff. Like, he managed to calculate the speed of sound through, I think it was four or five different types of gases. You know, so, like, how this happens, how he did it, I have no idea. But this guy was all about sound and figuring out what it did and how it worked and the way it responded to stuff. And so Chladni created these large metal plates that were called the Chladni plates. And what he would do is he would spread sand over these plates, and then he would take a violin bow and play them on the edge of the plates. And what he realized is that as the bow would cause the plates to resonate, the sand particles would start to move around. And if he did it long enough, the particles would actually arrange themselves into very ordered, very intentional-looking shapes. And so that was kind of the seed of cymatics. And so Hans Jenny, the Swiss doctor, he did a lot of the work in the 50s and 60s, and he was inspired by what Chladni had done, and he was the one that actually coined the term cymatics, and cymatics comes from the Greek word of kaima, which means wave, so it's actually the study of wave phenomenon, and specifically the study of sound waves. And what Hans Jenny did is he built all of these crazy instruments to test sound, and he built this thing called a tonoscope. And it was this really wild-looking contraption where he would have this membrane, this black membrane, and he would spread like sand and powders and different pastes and things over this membrane. And then through this machine, he would play sound frequencies. And he took pictures and video of the plate while he was playing. And he found the same thing that Chladni did, that these sound frequencies, when they were played long enough, they would cause whatever was on this membrane to rearrange themselves into shapes. But again, these weren't random shapes. And this is the part that when I first found cymatics, absolutely blew my mind. Because when you see some of these shapes, you know, they start out fairly simple, circles and squares and triangles, and then they evolve into these unbelievably complex-looking forms that they're like these spider-webby, mandalic kind of shapes. And what Jenny found was that as the frequency of the sound increased, so too did the complexity of the shapes that emerged. And so as the sounds got higher and higher, it would shift from a circle to these like cells and spider webs and like turtle shell kind of shapes. And it was absolutely mind-blowing, you know. I mean, even as long as I've been interested in sound stuff, when I first heard about this, my first thing was, no way. I mean, it was absolutely incredible to see these clear pictures and forms take shape just through sound, and absolutely incredible stuff. And so, and the other person to check out, if anybody's interested in this, there's a German man named Alexander Lauterwasser, And he just authored a book called Water Sound Images, which is amazing. And he's taken the work that Yinni and Claudia and the other people have done, and he works mainly with water. And so he's created these videos and these pictures of pools of water responding to sound. They look like computer animations, but they're completely real, and you just see this water rising and falling and taking these really complicated geometric shapes based just on sound. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's just the videos, and I'll post this on my blog as well. Just really blew my mind. I don't know what it is exactly. I can't quite articulate what it is, but something about it just, you know, made me like my hair stand up on end, you know?
Totally.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, completely.
So I'm curious about, go ahead.
No, I just want to add just one more point about the cymatic stuff.
Sure.
For me, there's two things that the cymatic stuff really kind of solidified for me. As someone who works with sound as a healing agent, for me, the cymatics was a very cool, very clear illustration that sound affects form. I mean, you can see it right there. But as an artist, what it solidified for me was that the sound actually creates form. It's what gives rise to the form itself, which for me then further explained why it was so helpful for me to drum or hum or sing or whatever it was before I would sit down with a paintbrush in my hand, because it's like the sound was laying the foundation for the form itself. So, you know, that's just another kind of a tie-in with the cymatic stuff that I just wanted to mention.
Sure, yeah. It's very interesting. All the layers and things we don't necessarily realize are going on under the surface.
Right.
Why we do things. So I'm curious about the work you do with your clients and how you work with your clients with sound.
Okay. For the basic idea behind what I do is that sound shifts stuff. And working with sound helps us to make really clear, really concrete changes in what's going on in our lives. And the reason that this works is that sound works at the energy level. And I know that can kind of sound a little out there for people, but really the way I look at it is that everything starts as energy. And that includes the good stuff and the not so good stuff. And so sound has a way of working at that level where everything starts. And so if somebody's stuck or they're struggling with something or they're having a difficult time, sound allows us to go to the place where that starts and to kind of shift what's going on there. And when we do that, it's like changing the blueprint of what's going on. And when you change the blueprint, then you change what shows up in your life. You know, you change what's created from that blueprint. So that means a couple of things for me. It means, first of all, that it helps to change what's happening, but it also makes it so much easier to change what's happening. Because in my experience, if you try to shift something that's going on, and you're not really working at the root of it, it's really difficult to shift it. I mean, especially if you're talking about, you know, big time stuck and struggle kind of a stuff. It's really hard to shift that if that underlying stuff is still going on that caused it to happen to begin with. So when you shift your focus to that place, to the root of what's going on, and you change what's going on there, it's absolutely amazing what kind of stuff can shift with pretty incredible speed. I mean, it's, you know, stuff that could take months or years, you know, may take a couple of hours to shift. And that's because, you know, you've really gotten to the heart of what's going on. So, you know, that really for me is what attracted me to this kind of work, because it's really the fastest and the most effective way of making really concrete changes that I've ever found. So, you know, that's kind of the reason that I do what I do. And there's a couple of ways that I work with people. One, I work with people in person, and I work with people at a distance. And the in-person stuff, you know, the appointments are about an hour or so, and, you know, we spend some time talking about what's going on, you know, what kind of stuff the person wants to work on and shift. And, you know, then they lay down and they get comfortable. And for about 45 minutes or so, I just play instruments, drums, singing bowls, tuning forks, gongs, rattles, that kind of a thing. And for the people having the experience, usually within the first couple of minutes, there's this really deep sense of relaxation. It's like they just, it's like kind of the sound massage kind of a thing. And so, and the whole time what I'm doing is working with the energy behind whatever it is they want to shift and kind of watching it and seeing how things are going. And because for me, sound has this quality to it that it's like it illuminates what's going on with the person and kind of translates it into images, which, again, I know can sound kind of weird, but if you think about like a sonogram, you know, the way it beams sound into the body and then sends the sound back and creates pictures on the computer, that's kind of what's going on for me during a session with somebody, is I get these visual impressions of what's going on, and I watch the sound shift the stuff throughout the session. And so then at the end of the session, there's, you know, they've got 5 or 10 minutes just to kind of come back to normal everyday stuff, you know, awareness. And then we talk about what I was seeing during the session and how I saw things shifting. And, you know, then they have an opportunity if they want to share what their experience was. And so that's the in-person stuff. And the distance stuff, which I admit initially the idea of sound at a distance is kind of like, what? You know, I mean, when you think about sound, you think about hearing sound. So, you know, how it can work at a distance. And again, that goes back to the energy level stuff, you know, because when we're working at that level, we're working with something that is not, it's not dependent on distance and time and space and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I can do my work here and you can be there and your stuff can shift. And, you know, at this point, I do more distance sessions than in-person sessions. So, and I think the reason is because people have just found that they're really, really effective, and then they don't have to travel to Cincinnati to do a session, you know, which is obviously kind of prohibitive, you know, for most people, just to drop in for an hour or two. So, yeah, so, you know, that's kind of the overview of the way that I work.
Cool. So could you give, like, an example of maybe something that someone was stuck with and what, you know, how they felt things shift?
Yeah, completely. For example, I just did a recent distance session for somebody in the UK, and they were having this weird kind of a skin rash thing going on that the doctors were having, you know, okay luck with, but it just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And she asked if I thought sound could help. And, of course, obviously, the usual disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, and I told her, you know, continue to see your doctor and do whatever they tell you to do, but let's see if there's maybe some energy stuff behind it. And so when I was doing the session, what I saw was it looked like, and now she didn't tell me where the rash was or anything, because a lot of times I'd rather not have a lot of details just so it doesn't influence what I'm experiencing in the session. So I saw these areas that looked like static. It was just this kind of fuzzy, weird static stuff around her body. And so I was just drumming, and I just continued to work and drum until that stuff kind of cleared out. And after the session, we talked, and I said, well, you know, I saw static here and here. And she was like, oh, my God, that's exactly where the rash is. Well, in 2 days, she wrote back, and the rash was gone completely. You know, and again, it's not about treating a physical situation. It's about dealing with the energy behind something, which then caused the other stuff to shift. Another example is I just did an in-person session with somebody that's really been working on getting their business moving and, you know, creating more flow and you know, inflow of clients and money and all that kind of stuff. So we did a session on Sunday. By, I think it was Wednesday, she had 3 new clients. She'd gotten a call from people out of state that had heard from her somehow or another that wanted to, like, fly her up and do these workshops and hire her to teach up there. You know, this was within 3 days, you know, and that's an example of how quickly sound can shift stuff around once you really work with that energy stuff. So
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, neat stuff.
So speaking of exciting, I'm excited about your new website, which
is
a fun. Yay!
Yeah, big yay.
Yeah. So can you tell me a bit about what you'll be offering there and also, you know, of course, mention your web address so that everyone can find you?
Yeah, totally. It's www.sankofasong.com. And, yeah, the website has just launched, and I'm super excited about it. And on the site, there's a bunch of information about, you know, how sound works, the way it shifts stuff, more about this energy level stuff and how it really works. And the one thing I'm really excited about on the site is that there's a free download that I put together. It's about 18, 19 minutes long that It's two parts. One part is just this fairly short introduction into what sound is and how it works. But the really cool part of it, the second part, is there's like a 9 or 10 minute audio download. I went into a studio and recorded a track with a drum and some singing bowls. And so the reason that I wanted to do this is so people could get a simple way to just get a taste of sound shifting stuff. So you can get the download, listen to it, and sit on your couch and shift stuff. So super, super simple and easy. And also on the site, I just finished recording a singing bowl CD that's called Remembering Through Resonance. And it's about 45 minutes long. It's a really cool kind of a mellow thing. You can listen to it with, you know, meditation, yoga, painting, that kind of stuff. There's the second track specifically I created for people who do creative kind of work. And it's kind of a neat way to get energy moving. It's a way to kind of open up the creative flow before you start, you know, painting or sculpting or whatever it is, kind of creative stuff you do. So that's going to be on there. And what else? Oh, yeah, I'm also working, and this I'm excited about, I'm working on a 2-CD set specifically for artists that it's going to explore. One CD is going to be just sort of this talking thing, exploring the relationship between sound and creativity. And then the second CD is going to be all about music that people can listen to when they're in the creative process. So hopefully that'll be ready in the next few months. So, yeah, that's kind of a peek at what's going on.
Ooh, that sounds really, really good. I can't wait to check it all out. And is there anything else you would like to share before we finish up?
No, I thank you. I mean, it's so cool to be able to do this, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. So thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome, and thanks so much for talking with me today, Fabeku. It was a lot of fun.
Anytime.